who do you trust for career advice? I'm Erin Delmore, host of the As We Work podcast from the Wall Street Journal. We're talking to the experts to bring you the advice you need to improve your work life and advance your career. Subscribe today.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, March 30th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Hospitals, and particularly operating rooms, are places where you want everything in a doctor's control to go right. In an effort to improve outcomes, more hospitals are turning to systems of sensors powered by artificial intelligence to tell them exactly what happens in an OR. How do these hospital versions of black boxes work? We'll be joined by Barbara Sadik, who wrote about this for the WSJ's Journal Reports. That's in a minute. But first, a heads up, our special weekly series on AI, Artificially Minded, is coming up soon. We'll be tackling some of the big questions around generative AI and how it's already affecting life, work, and business in surprising ways. You can catch Artificially Minded every Monday in April, starting April 3rd. And there's still time to send us your questions for the series. Leave us a voicemail at 415-439-6482. Or email us a voice recording to tnb@wsj.com. We look forward to hearing from you. And now the headlines. A group of tech executives and top artificial intelligence researchers are calling for a pause in the development of powerful new AI tools. In an open letter, they asked for a moratorium of 6 months or more to give the industry time to set up safety standards. The signatories included Tesla CEO Elon Musk, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, and Stability AI CEO Imad Mostak. The letter doesn't call for all AI development to cease, but it urges companies to temporarily stop training systems more powerful than GPT-4, the chatbot released by startup OpenAI earlier this month. Microsoft patched a dangerous security issue in Bing last month, just days before it launched its new AI-powered version of the search engine. The problem was discovered by researchers at the security firm Wiz. They said the issue was created by a mistake due to the way Microsoft configured applications on its cloud computing platform Azure. That could have allowed hackers to gain access to emails and other documents from people who used Bing. Wiz said there's no evidence anyone has taken advantage of the issue. A Microsoft spokesman said the misconfiguration issue affected a small number of its applications. The future of TikTok seems up in the air. The U.S. government is threatening to ban it if its Chinese owners don't sell their stake. Meanwhile, the company is pushing forward with a plan it says will safeguard U.S. data from the possible threat of Chinese intrusion. 150 million TikTok users in the U.S. are waiting to see how this all plays out. But apart from the company and its users, who else could be impacted by a possible TikTok ban? WSJ reporter Georgia Wells joins me to discuss. Hi, Georgia. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So if TikTok is banned in the U.S., obviously it seems bad for the company, but who else could lose out here?
So U.S.-China relations would likely be the biggest loser. Beijing and Washington have sort of been in a technological cold war for much of the past 5 years, and this would take it a step in the colder direction.
What about the companies that work with TikTok? You know, something like Oracle, who's supposed to, you know, hold all of this data for TikTok. Would they be really impacted?
Yeah, so this would be really, really not a good thing for Oracle. Oracle has become one of TikTok's biggest kind of corporate partners lately. And so the reason Oracle comes to play here is that in its attempts to convince lawmakers that it can operate safely in the U.S., TikTok has set up this structure with Oracle, and Oracle would house all the data and kind of also play this role where it would be monitoring the code to attempt to see whether or not there is foreign influence. So TikTok is one of Oracle's largest clients right now, and that would, you know, obviously blow up that relationship.
Is there anyone else who's involved with TikTok who could find themselves in a similar position?
Yeah, so it's too soon to know what exactly that would mean for TikTok's entire workforce, but they do have about 7,000 employees in the U.S., and it would not be a good thing for them. And then also, you know, a TikTok ban would be really bad news for ByteDance, which is TikTok's parent company, also for you know, the stakes. You know, 20% of TikTok is owned by founders, 20% by employees, and 60% by global investors. And those include SoftBank, Sequoia, KKR. So it would probably be pretty bad for all of those involved.
So a long list of people who could be hurt here. Let's talk a little bit about who might win if there's a TikTok ban.
So I think one of the biggest winners would be rivals. So Meta platforms as Facebook and Instagram both have essentially a knockoff of TikTok called Reels. YouTube has also experimented with YouTube Shorts, and then Snapchat has Snapchat Spotlight. And all three of those products are basically ripoffs of TikTok that I think would likely be trying to do a really big land grab if TikTok were to go away.
And what about the people who've been pushing for this ban?
Yeah, so there's sort of like a bipartisan group of lawmakers, including Marco Rubio, Mark Warner, John Thune, Michael McCaul, Mike McGallagher. I think it would be seen as a political win for all of them if there were a TikTok ban, given they've been kind of trying to force through some legislation.
And parents and users, how do they fare in this whole situation?
I think a TikTok ban would kind of be seen as a win for many parents because so many teens across the country have been struggling to rein in their use of social media, and often the pressure has fallen on parents to try to help police it. And I think it's been kind of a losing battle for many parents. So I think for many parents, teachers, schools would be seen as a win. I think a lot of users would be really upset if TikTok went away. A lot of users I speak with kind of express how much like enjoyment and entertainment they find using the app. So I think it would be pretty sad for them.
Still a lot to watch and play out here. That's our tech reporter, Georgia Wells. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And crypto traders are pulling billions of dollars out of Binance. As of Monday evening, the crypto exchange had shed over $2 billion from its Ethereum blockchain in just the last week. That's according to crypto data provider Nansen, which said Binance still had more than $63 billion in publicly disclosed wallets. As we told you earlier this week, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission is suing Binance, alleging it operated illegally in the U.S. Our reporter Julie Steinberg says Binance is dealing with a host of other issues as well.
Investors and analysts are also monitoring for more regulatory action against Binance in the coming months from the U.S. or perhaps elsewhere, so there's potentially more to watch there. And then internally, Binance has also been changing its fee structure, imposing fees on spot Bitcoin trading after cutting them to zero last summer. One crypto hedge fund manager told us that fees are extremely important and helps inform their decision on which exchange to trade on.
A spokeswoman for Binance said the exchange always has more than enough funds to fulfill withdrawal requests and that inflows and outflows had stabilized. Okay, when we come back, cracking open the black box of the operating room. We'll discuss why more hospitals are collecting data on every move in the OR. That's after the break.
Hear the top breaking news, plus the latest on business, politics, and more with the new WSJ headline skill for your Alexa smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, enable WSJ headlines," to get started.
A black box on a plane can explain what happened if something goes wrong. Now a similar prospect is being taken on by hospitals. New technology can help track what happens in operating rooms, helping reduce medical errors and improve patient safety. Joining me to discuss this is Barbara Sadik, who wrote about this for the Wall Street Journal's Journal Reports. Hey Barbara, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Can you start by telling us what is an OR black box?
An OR black box is not a physical black box, but it's rather a system of sensors and software that records everything that's going on in an operating room.
Barbara, there's so much that goes on in an operating room. How does this system capture what's happening there?
It's artificial intelligence. It's used primarily to improve performance and to improve surgical outcomes.
How do they improve surgical outcomes with this?
Okay, well, this is somewhat new. It's in the last couple of years that this has really been used more widely. It allows for people in the OR to work as a team by seeing what might be going wrong over time, or if something does go wrong, they can see why it went wrong or try to determine how to do things better. It can also capture information that particular hospitals want to know more about to see how they're doing in that realm.
You mentioned that this is fairly new. Where is it being tested out now?
Well, it's in 24 hospitals in the United States, Canada, and Western Europe. And each of the hospitals that has a black spot has it only in a few operating rooms, not every operating room.
Okay, so it's not everywhere yet, but from the hospitals that are testing it out, what have they found in using this?
So for example, at Duke University Medical Center, there are a couple of black boxes, and they found that often specimens that are taken from patients when they are in the undergoing an operation don't have an efficient system of getting to the proper labs for analysis. And so they've been working on streamlining that.
Are there any concerns about using this type of technology?
The concerns primarily have come from staff members, but the hospitals have spoken with the staff and have explained that this is not being used for punitive purposes, but rather to improve outcomes and teamwork.
And what about patients? Do we know how they feel about the use of this?
No, because I'm not sure how much they really know that it's being used. When a patient goes in for surgery, they sign a form, a consent form, and in those ORs that are using the black boxes, that is included in the consent form. But I don't know that anybody's told outright that everything's being recorded.
Does it seem like, from the experts that you spoke to, that this kind of technology is the future of medicine, the future of ORs?
They certainly think that something like this is the future, yes. Because it captures everything that one human being can't, or even a group of people can't. Surgical Safety Technologies in Toronto, the manufacturer of the black boxes, they think this is the wave of the future. There are other things going on by other companies to supposedly improve outcomes in operating rooms. And so it's too early to tell. It remains to be seen.
All right, that's Barbara Sadik, who wrote about this for WSJ Journal Reports. Thanks for joining us, Barbara.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast puts you close to the people breaking the news from around the world.
Over half the population are in acute need of food.
And close to home.
The red hot housing market is starting to slow down.
Uncovering facts.
These investments call into question some of the federal government's activity.
And diving into markets.
Of course, a lot of money exiting the stock market, which is like...
Get it all twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News.